Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. I want to welcome everyone here. Appreciated what has been shared from every aspect of the service this morning, and I have already been blessed and have been encouraged. This morning, I want to share with you about the cross. And if you want to turn in your faith and praise to number 616, this song was written by Jessie Brown Pounds. She was in her young age, she was not healthy, and so she spent a lot of time at home learning. And in some ways, she became a very, she wrote many poems, many songs. And I read that it's not known if this is completely true, but her father was coming home from work one day, walking, and there was a small boy, young boy, that was lost. He couldn't find his way home. And he was trying to understand from the boy where he might live so he could help him. And finally, the little boy said, "If you take me to the cross," there was a cross in town, "I can find my way from there." And so he went home and told a story to his family. And I'm not positive I have everything right, but this is where she came up with this song. She wrote this song after she heard that the little boy said that. The way of the cross leads home. Maybe we'll just sing one verse of this, okay? I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The with that, and I might come back to that later on. So, as we think of the cross, this subject has, in some ways, it has two aspects. And for a while, as I was studying, I was very frustrated because I couldn't bring my thoughts together, and until I realized what the problem that I was dealing with, I was having a problem with trying to bring both aspects into the same context. And although they do fit in some ways, it helped me to recognize that there are two things that we could talk about. And the first aspect is the salvation cross. I'm just going to call it that, the salvation cross. And the second aspect is about the self-denial cross. You know, in some ways, it's hard to separate these two aspects because self-denial is a part of being a Christian. And we cannot be a Christian unless, if it were not for what Jesus did on the cross. So in some ways, we can't separate them. But I did, just in a very small way. As I studied I looked in Scripture, and I can't find, so far I have not been able to find a Scripture where Jesus spoke about the salvation cross, where he directly said that the salvation, you know, the cross where he's going to die on. He talked about his crucifixion, but I couldn't find a place where he talked specifically about that he's going to die on a cross. And I'm not positive that I didn't I'll leave it open that I hadn't studied quite hard enough yet. But it came to my, I didn't have time, I was running out of time. In the Apostles' writings is where I found it more easily, where it talks about salvation related to the cross directly. In Philippians 2, verse 8, as an example, says, in being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But even in that scripture, self-denial is still evident. So when we come to the salvation cross, we still have to accept self-denial as being part of it still. And also we have to recognize that the salvation cross is not what saves us. It was only a tool that represents extreme humility of Jesus, that he was willing to lower himself to such a sinful, low state because he loved us. When I say salvation cross, I'm only saying that to help us see that Jesus was never mentioned in that cross. He never mentioned it. He didn't mention it prior to his crucifixion that I could find. But I also want to mention that we cannot get to heaven unless we come to meet Jesus at the cross. And we've heard that before. Not because the cross saves us. It isn't the cross that saves us. But it's that's where Jesus meets the sinner. That's where he meets us. That's the state of mind that we're in when we come and lower ourselves to that place. The shed blood on the cross is what gives us salvation. That's what paid for our sins, was that shed blood. And so I want to make that very clear. In Matthew 10, verse 38, it says, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Those were Jesus' words. And this cross, I believe, is a cross of self-denial. You could put other words with it too, but I believe that word means the most to me. And I would like to read from Matthew. You can turn with me if you want to. Matthew 10. I'm going to read verse 32 through 39. Just to bring out a little more what was really going on as Jesus spoke these words to us. Matthew 10, verse 32 is where I will start. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I'm going to stop there and maybe let that sink into you a little bit as you think of those verses. Those are strong verses, strong words that Jesus said. I'm not sure if I can say exactly what he meant when he said that he came to make so that families hate each other. He didn't say it in those words, but you could get that impression. And I have a hard time believing that Jesus was trying to tell them that. I think the point that I get from this is that he was wanting us as Christians, people who serve him, be willing to put everything aside, even family, to serve him and love him at whatever cost. And that's what he sort of sums it up with then in that verse 38. if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me, is just the plain words he said. And, you know, I think that that verse can go into a lot of different meanings, but I think really self-denial makes the most sense as I was studying this message. Some words that A.W. Tozer wrote a book, the title of the book, I believe, is, it may be this was an article, but I think it was a book. It says, The Old Cross and the New. And so what he was bringing out in this book is that there used to be an old cross that was taught. Now there's, in modern day, there's a new cross that's being taught. And in that book, he wrote some quotes from other people. George F. MacLeod said this, Jesus was crucified not in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves. Just to bring things back into perspective of what we're really looking at when we talk about the cross. And Charles Spurgeon wrote this, There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers here below. And then A.W. Tozer wrote this himself. He said this, The old cross slew men, the new cross entertains them. The old cross condemned, the new cross amuses. The old cross destroyed confidence in the flesh. The new cross encourages it. And then one last one, Oswald Chambers wrote, he said, All heaven is interested in the cross of Christ. Everybody in the eternal sphere, heaven, they're interested in the cross of Christ. All hell is terribly afraid of it, while men are the only beings who more or less ignore its meaning. So what that's saying, what he's saying there is, here we are as people, and we to some degree more, to some degree less, we don't pay attention to the cross like we should. But all hell is paying attention to the cross. Heaven is paying attention to the cross, those people. So we of all people should be the ones that should pay more attention to the cross. And then another thing that I thought was interesting, Billy Graham said this when he was still preaching. He said, when Jesus said, if you are going to follow me, you have to take up a cross. When Jesus said that, it was the same as saying, come and bring your electric chair with you. Take up the gas chamber and follow me. You know, he did not have a beautiful gold cross in mind. Jesus had a different cross in mind. And, you know, the cross, Billy said this too, the cross in the church steeple or the one that you find in front of your Bible, that wasn't the cross Jesus had in mind. Jesus had a mind in place of execution. And those are strong words. But I think that the old cross, the cross that you and I want to take up, is the cross that Jesus was speaking about. Jesus said, if we do not take up that cross, we are not worthy of him. So going on, the very most basic principle that we mean when we talk about the cross is that each person going to heaven, planning on going to heaven, that wants to go to heaven, we must first come to the cross. And we have to repent. We have to crucify our flesh. And we have to die to self. And then we've been raised up in Christ, new life, just as Christ was raised up. And, you know, a little bit more what A.W. Tozer meant when he says the old cross, the new cross. I think there's, and you know this too, there's lots of teaching from Christian people about the new cross today. And I'll give you an example. There's a teaching, whether it's taught directly or indirectly, I don't know for sure. Maybe in some places it's taught directly. But instead of teaching repentance, it's a teaching of redirection. In other words, we redirect the sinner towards heaven. you come to Christ, we redirect them to Christ, which is true, but the way to Christ is at the cross, the foot of the cross. First, we have to repent. And a lot of teaching is missing that point today in many churches. And what that does, that leads the sinner to never feel that we are really a sinner, to never know for sure that, admit that we need Jesus in our to forgiveness. There are many Christians today, too, that are embarrassed of the old rugged cross. The message of the cross, it seems so disgraceful and weak. Jesus says we must lose to gain, and people don't like to hear that. The new cross that is taught is too much if we are redirected to Christ, we have power in our lives, and Jesus is popular. The real message of the cross is not that popular. If you really look at the message of the cross, it's not a popular message that goes with it. Jesus said we must take up the cross and follow him. But that cross that old cross, in a lot of ways, has an ugly message. It's a beautiful message in what it does for us if we accept it. But before we accept it, when we first hear about it, it's sort of an ugly message. It's a message of loss. It's degrading. It's suffering. It's humiliating. And the Bible says that we as Christians, that we are pilgrims and strangers. So the cross that we teach, that Jesus talks about, is not a cross that you want to, that's going to make you popular. It's going to put you in a position that not many of us want to be in that position. And it seems to me that all Christian people, even us, I mean, we're not any better. We struggle, too, knowing how to live our lives while we take up that cross. We struggle with that. I do. I know I do. And I think one reason, there are many reasons why we struggle, but I think the one reason that comes to my mind first is because we are living in a, we are blessed because of where we live. Our country does not dictate our religion. And where in many other countries, religion is dictated a lot more. And in many Christians, the very idea that they get baptized is like hauling the gas chamber around with them as they follow Jesus, the very gas chamber that they're going to die in. So we are blessed with the freedom of religion. We don't necessarily carry that gas chamber around with us like we should. And we don't have to go out there and take up our cross physically as much as people in persecuted countries do. So how can we bear our cross when we are not necessarily going to be put to death for being a Christian? I think that's the thing that I struggle with. I think that most American Christians struggle with that very thing. There's so much difference between how it is compared to how they have it in other countries. You know that they're bearing their cross in a very serious way. It's a serious matter when they decide to follow Jesus, to pick up the cross and follow Jesus. Here, we don't see the results of that seriousness maybe until it's too late. And we can bypass and it can be overlooked in our lives easily. Jesus said that we should be willing to take our cross or be willing to lay down our life for our faith as we follow him, if we're going to be worthy of him. That's what he said. So to make this real in our minds, I would like to look at ways in which we are asked to lay down our lives for our faith, because I believe that is really what we're talking about. That's really what it is to take up our cross and follow Jesus. You know, if we are not willing to give up every part of our life to follow Jesus, these are not my words. These are what Jesus said in the scripture. He said, you're not worthy of me. And, you know, to what is really Jesus saying about that? But I really think that he wants us to understand that there's a great cost to taking up this cross and following Jesus. And I want to clarify that taking up our cross is not always something that we do or something that we don't do. I think in our situation, in our circumstances, a lot of times taking up our cross is a process that goes on in our minds. You know, would I be willing to carry the very cross that I will die on to Golgotha like Jesus did? Jesus carried his own cross as much as he could, the one that he was going to be crucified on, to pay for our sins. And would you carry a cross to Golgotha to be crucified to death to prove your loyalty to Jesus? Would you do that? I know I would say I would do that, but I'm scared that I might be more like Peter than I want to admit. I hope I'm not, though. You know, I think that we definitely need to be willing to, and we need to make a commitment to that. But we need to realize that this is more of a heart condition and a choice that we make. This becomes a process of counting the cost and then setting a predetermined line in our hearts and mind that we commit ourselves to. Because we don't always have something that serious or physical that we can attach it to. And so in a lot of ways, we have it much harder than what people that live in other places, that when they make that decision, it's steadfast. They're either on one side or the other side, and it's obvious. For us, it's not that obvious. For us, we can go through our lives and hide it and not really be willing to actually bear our cross that we are, God Jesus wants us to. What am I willing to give up for Jesus? That's the question. Or what am I willing to stand up for? What would I stand up for? What would I be willing to go to the cross and death for? The early church, it was being rebaptized in place of infant baptism. That was their line. That was a clear line for them. And it's not for us. I know many Anabaptist people that have been rebaptized because they didn't trust their first baptism. But that had nothing to do with this. That was a different issue. But in the early church, that was the issue. Not every Christian gets to face death for the cause of Jesus. So because of this, I would say that in our church, most of us have to make the decision in our mind. Where we draw that line? How committed are we to bearing our cross? Jesus said, if we do not, that we are not worthy of him. And I said before, I think a big thing here is self-denial, especially for us. Denying ourselves, our rights, our will. Denying our will to Christ's will. That's a big one. And die to self, alive to Christ. In our mind process, when we start out the day early in the morning or when we wake up, you know, to be part of this, we'd have to remind ourselves that we're serving Jesus and not ourselves today, and be willing to face whatever comes our way because we're following Christ. We're not so upset about what comes our way. That's our cross that he gives us. After we surrender ourselves to Christ, there are many things that we will face and that we do face that will remind us that we need to lay down our life and that we need to keep losing our life. So the self-denial cross, I think, is a really big one in American Christianity and even in our church here. I believe it's accepting our circumstances, and sometimes that's not very easy to do, but that is the self-denial cross that many of us have. Taking our cross might be more to accepting our circumstances with a smile. The self-denial cross is being willing to suffer ridicule for a tender conscience that most people don't seem to care about. And I know that I spoke to one of you this week, and, you know, in some ways I was thinking about what you said to me about your conscience, and, you know, a little bit of your conscience sometimes could be your cross. And in this particular situation, you were telling me that it's hard for you to sign a dotted line after a 10-page agreement that you see on the internet that you can't even read, and you won't sign them because you can't do that. You know, I respect that. And I have a different one. I have one that some of you know about that not all of you respect or even think that I'm, some of you might think that I'm the one that's a little bit weird or different. But, you know, I have this thing where Sundays, and I know in many people, Sundays are not as, you know, we in our church, we have talked about Sundays as going away as a family and camping as a family, as that's a good thing to do because for families. But I sometimes struggle with that. You ask my family, and they will tell you how much I do. But it's not that I think it's wrong, but I have this thing in me that before God, that I can't get peace sometimes. And I try to. I want to go do this and do that, and I try to, and I can't. And so, and I know many of you can. I know that you have that where you can do it, and but I can't. And I there are some things that I have done and I can do occasionally with my family, and I can get some peace with that. But I have to be honest that I have the most peace when I'm in church on Sunday. And, you know, probably I can thank my parents for that or unthank them. But that is something that goes, that is in my, it's in my conscience. So what I'm saying is, yeah, that seems like a small cross, but that is one of what I'm talking about, a self-denial cross that Jesus said we must bear. We must take those crosses and accept them and be joyful about them. Don't be trying to get away from them. Self-denial, I'm picking on small issues. Self-denial cross is waiting to be the last in the food line and preferring other people ahead of myself. But I will say this, you need to remember that if you go through the exercise of denying yourself to be the last in the food line, that that it will not bring a reward in heaven unless you deal with that self-denial in your heart first. It's not just the doing. You need to deal with that in your heart too. The cross of self-denial is very important in our marriages. You know, if the husband and wife are willing to lay down their life for the other one, that goes a long ways in helping you keep your love strong in your marriage. Self-denial cross is learning to be content. You know, maybe you struggle being content in your life, and you desire, you have greedy desires, and you're always wanting. You know, that's one. For you to take that cross, you need to allow this to be crucified and repent. Choose to live a regenerated life. That's taking up that cross. Maybe your cross is your rights or your will. You know, submitting, I believe it's the biggest one, to submit our own will to Jesus' will, the will of Christ. You know, we face situations where things are not fair, and we have to give up winning the argument. Even if we might be right, sometimes we can't, we just have to let it go, give up our rights. There's many Christians who protest for Christian rights. And, you know, they really mess up their Christian testimony because they're trying to push Christian principles towards people who are sinners and do not understand righteous ways. They're trying to make the sinner, by their protesting, they're trying to make the sinner live a Christian life without being a Christian. And it doesn't work. It's backwards. It's upside down. Or it's right side up. But the Christian life, self-denial, is upside down. But I like, that's where, that's why people have a hard time understanding or wanting to go there, because they can't, they don't want to be in an upside down kingdom. Maybe maybe your self-denial cross is God calling you to go somewhere where you don't really want to go. You're not willing to go because you have it so nice right here. It's easy here. You have it nice. You worked hard the last 20 years to get where you are right now, and now you have it nice. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to go start over. But maybe God's calling you. Maybe he wants you to pick that cross up. Is God asking you to deny yourself and get out of your comfort zone? Do something that he knows that is going to be a challenge for you. But maybe God wants you to do that. Maybe God loves you so much, and he does, that he sees you do something in the kingdom of God that is a little bit embarrassing. You're doing something in the kingdom of God that's pretty small, and it's out of your class. It's a little bit embarrassing for you to do. You have to humble yourself to do it. And it's a lowly job. And you will not receive any recognition for doing it either. But maybe you're already doing that and you want to quit doing that. Maybe God is calling you to do something like that. I think those are the self-denial crosses that Jesus is asking us to take up and follow him. And I think there are so many that I haven't even listed. There are many more, many, many more. But I don't know what they all are. These are just things that came to my mind as I was studying. And it convicted me. And this verse in Matthew that I read earlier, Jesus said, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." So there was a... there was a Methodist preacher, he passed away now. I'm not sure what his first, I think it was Gordon Watson was his name. And he did a lot of writing. He was born in 1845, so he was passed away quite a few years ago. But he was a very outgoing person when he came to the Lord. Very enthused, and he wanted to be on the forefront of living a very holy life. He tried hard. He got discouraged, and in a lot of ways he would be considered, in his young Christian life, he would have been considered an unstable person, because he went from living a good life, being discouraged, to back and forth a lot. But he always had this zeal in wanting to serve God really faithfully. And it wasn't until he was pretty old. He was a very good preacher, but even in his preaching, he admitted that he didn't think his life was that good behind it, and he suffered in his mind because of this, and he struggled a lot. But then, toward the end of his life, he wrote this article that I want to read. I hope it doesn't get too long for you, but it was in the Living Words, and I wanted to read it to you. It goes a lot along with what I have said. He said, "Others may, you cannot." That's the title of it. He said, "If God has called you to be really like Jesus, he would draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility and put upon you such demands of obedience that you will not be able to follow other people or measure yourself by other Christians. And in many ways, he will seem to let other good people do things in which he will not let you do." And I'm going to just skip a whole bunch there. And then I'm going to go down to the this last paragraph that says here. He goes over all the things that you could do that God wants you to do that are different and that are not what other people do. But he asks you to do it because you've made a step to take up your cross and follow Jesus. That's why he has you do some of those things that other people don't do. Am I saying that they didn't take up their cross? It could be, but I'm not specifically saying that. But here he says in the last paragraph then, he said, "Settle it forever then. that you are to deal directly with the Holy Spirit, and he is to have the privilege of tying your tongue or chaining your hand or closing your eyes in ways that he does not seem to use with others. And I just want that in our lives, to think about that sometimes. You know, when we bear our cross, we cannot go around and compare what other people aren't doing or what cross they don't have to bear, or and be upset about the cross that Jesus wants us to bear. And Jesus didn't say bear the cross either. Jesus said, he just simply said, take it up and then follow me. So where the bearing came from, I'm not sure, is scripture or not. But I think that it would be better for us if we would quit bearing our cross and simply take the cross up and follow Jesus, you know, that way with obedience. Maybe we'll